can be. Two for the blues, good and a three.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Coming up now is our talk show. It is the new WHFR Journal. Local news and alternative views. Stay tuned. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. I'm your host, Jay Koronek, here today with you on October 30th, 2009. You can either call it our Halloween edition, which makes it very scary, or, of course, our election edition, much more important. November 3rd, next Tuesday, please vote, tell other people, get people to the polls, 7 a.m. in the morning to 8 p.m. at night in all the local communities within the sound of our voice, maybe through the internet everywhere in the United States. It is the Tuesday election day, first Tuesday in November, next Tuesday. And just as before our show goes on, if you can't, you say, oh, I can't do Tuesday, it's bad for me, or I have no transportation, or whatever. If you can, get to your city clerk's office today, Friday, October 30th. Some city clerks, and I don't know about Dearborn, are open tomorrow, Saturday, for a few hours. Call, find out. Monday, also, even Monday, you can go in and fill out an absentee ballot for one of the various reasons why you can't do it Tuesday, and actually vote right at that time. They'll give it to you. You fill it out. Give it right back to them. Don't have to send it in the mail. Okay? So don't miss out on your opportunity to cast your vote and be part of democracy. It's a great concept. We have to make it work. It is not a so-called big election time with either governor race or presidential race. We've got to show all those congressmen and all our elected officials that are sort of status quo, fat and happy, that we are alive and well as the electorate, and we care, even in a time when there's not the so-called big names at the top of the ticket. These local races, as we always say on the show, hey, what matters to you most is right next door, and that's what's happening, is local races. I'm here joined in the studio today with, besides a couple of special guests coming up, my co-host, that is Dennis Reimars, our news director here at WHFR, and also on our news team is Amy Powers. So this is the mic check time, so let's see if we can hear you folks. Dennis, you first.
Hello, welcome back, Jay.
Okay. Yeah, great show last week, Dennis and Amy.
Well, you're just saying that because it's true.
Amy,
I'll jump in here for the mic check.
Thank you. We heard you fine. Right here with us for the next 30 minutes is Patrick Kiernan, and he's one of the 14 candidates for 7 slots on the Dearborn City Council. As our regular listeners know, we've been covering since the primary these in-depth, or at least as in-depth as we can get in 30 minutes, interviews with the challengers, people who are not currently serving as Dearborn Council candidates, all the incumbents are in the race. None of them were eliminated. They were, in, you know, part of this top 14. So we're talking to the challengers, and Not a moment too soon to get Patrick Kernan in here, and we wanted to have you earlier. Looks like you're just coming out of a little bit of a cold, so our listeners should know that you normally have a full-bodied, powerful voice, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
They might think you're interviewing Froggy from the Little Rascals.
That's all right. This is Michigan, and all of us have to have ups and downs with colds and so on. Tell us about yourself for those that don't know. By the way, I commend you as a challenger. Was this your first race for our office in Dearborn?
Yes, sir, it was.
Mm-hmm. That you did. You got in the top 14,
yes,
and you had great success, number 12. But still, hey, doesn't really matter. What matters is next Tuesday, of course.
Yes, sir.
So getting that connection with the voters was very important. And so congratulations on being part of that. Tell us a little bit about what you think is relevant background to becoming a Dearborn City Council member. Whatever you think here, education, experience, career, and so on.
Well, the obviously I don't have much political experience. I believe I look at the city as and government in the city of Dearborn as a business. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. And I do have experience in running a business.
Tell us about that business.
Well, it's
people
Kiernan
probably
Steakhouse.
Already know. Yes.
I am one of the owners and vice president of Kiernan Steakhouse. I've actually been working there, like as probably 11, 12 years old, started washing dishes, worked my way from the ground up. I'm not afraid to work. I do have some college experience in the field that I am in. It was in the culinary field, actually, mm-hmm. with the exception of I was a Marine from 1983 to 1989. I had 4 years active duty, a couple tours overseas.
Gulf War?
No, it was before that. I actually went to go re-enlist during the Gulf War, and the recruiters really didn't want anything to do with you.
Oh.
They said you could re-enlist, you'd stay stateside.
Interesting.
I said, I'd re-enlist, but I want to go over. And he said, you know, how many guys like you coming through the door want to do that? And I said, I'm not staying stateside, so that never happened.
Well, there you go. Okay. Obviously, Kiernan Steakhouse, for those that don't know, this is not a plug. We don't do commercials here, folks, but and we're not endorsing any of the challengers, but we just think they need to get their message out even more so than the incumbents, who you should already know if you keep up with anything. Kiernan Steakhouse is on Michigan Avenue in so-called West Dearborn. I guess the cross street is Oakwood?
Monroe no. and... Well, it's between Monroe and Oakwood on the southeast
Monroe and
corner
Oakwood
of Monroe
on the
and Michigan Avenue.
Right. And why now? Why did you decide to run now? You've been in Dearborn. Your family's been here a long time with that establishment, that business. Why do you feel it's important to get your voice out there as an official part of the council?
Well, the past number of years, I've always had an interest in it. I don't always go down and watch the council meetings in person. I do now and then. Even as running, I haven't been going down and watching them, but I do watch them on the internet, and
mm-hmm.
I do watch
sure.
them on the cable channel, and I've always had an interest in it, and just the way I see a lot of things going, a lot of things get done, it seems just like, you know, you think, why did they do that? You know, there's no common sense in what they did. I mean, one of them we'll talk about is paid parking, just the main right. layout and how they laid that out. It's like, who designed this?
Yeah, let's jump right to that. We always cover in these 30-minute interviews so-called old continuing issues. Obviously, Kiernan's is part of the West Dearborn business community. I assume, have you served officially, or is everybody kind of official with the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority?
I haven't served officially on them. I mean, we've attended meetings, and mm-hmm. I mean, they try to get everybody's input.
Yeah.
All the businesses down there, when they have the meetings, everybody's welcome.
That's still in existence, that group.
The West Dearborn one?
Yes.
I believe that one's been disbanded, and Hakeem
right, because it was during
another one.
Oh, okay.
Or he tried to. I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Because I know they were...
I think that kind of went by the wayside too.
They had to be very active for input all during the time they were trying to figure out what to do in terms of the development of West Dearborn, the replacing of the Jacobson's department store that was the primary open space this time, and of course a lot of projects came from that, or at least were talked about coming from that. I just didn't know since that's kind of a special entity. Maybe there's some federal funding that funds that kind of authority, too. Of course, there's an East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. They now have a new executive director, but I think there's some sort of money that comes from somewhere to help keep that going, to help foster the development, you know?
Yes, I believe there is.
Right. Well, what would you have done differently if you were on that group or you had the power, let's say you were Mayor Guido or whatever during that time? There's been some missteps. There's a lawsuit in progress now against Burton Katzman. Paid parking. Just tell us ins and outs of what you saw there in West Dearborn in terms of the business development and what you liked and didn't like.
Well, as far as paid parking went, I was never for it. As the restaurant, we did support it because, like council, you know, the majority rules. And I have two brothers that I'm in business with, and they were both for the paid parking.
Now, Kiernan, though, you have your own land and in your own free parking, in effect, for your own restaurant.
We do have a lot we use for our own. We're one of the few. I think us and Chelios have our own parking. Everybody else pretty much relies on public parking. And as we do, too, because we take up three-quarters of a city block there, and we have the tavern side, the original side, the dining room, and Silky's, a martini bar.
Mm-hmm.
And
what is a martini bar? I don't know. I don't drink, I'm sorry, but
I guess it's just a fancy name for a
fancy
bar.
Name for a bar. Okay.
I mean,
serve martinis.
We do have quite a list of martinis.
Okay, different kinds of martinis.
50 different martinis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm sorry, distraction
that's,
there.
That's
so obviously you didn't think paid parking was the right way to go, even though, and therefore the parking towers unnecessary.
Was a study a number of years ago. I think they had eight different independent companies. I believe it was, recommend if we were to put a structure up, where should it go in that area?
Oh.
And all, I believe it was seven or eight of them, said it should go behind where the Double Olive is.
Hmm.
They said, mm-hmm. If you were going to put a structure up, this is where it needs to go. I mean, not three blocks down, totally away from where everything is.
Right.
I mean, obviously, they sit empty down there. I mean, they're maybe getting used up a little bit more with the well opening and a couple other places down there at that end. But still pretty much they sit there.
Yeah, the average person looking at it today would say, well, neither one of those towers used much. Why two? Why don't you just build one and see if that would get filled? But the Burton Katzman plan was supposed to have other development in between the two, I don't think it's that much room. They were going to put like a hotel and maybe some other condo or something in there. I don't think there was that much space between the two even for this,
like it.
Unless it's, I don't know, 12 stories high or something.
Well, not only that, and there's supposed to be a courtyard in the middle. So
I
think there are 2 7-story towers they're supposed to put.
Okay.
Mid-sized towers.
Yeah, I just, that's a crazy design. Of course, I wasn't on the committee. Nobody asked me, but.
We should get your mates over here.
In regard to that, since Burton Katzman didn't do it and they had their reasons and they're trying to defend them in court, but it looks like the way the court hearing has been going is that the decisions seem to be preliminary decisions anyway from the court in favor of the city winning the suit, and who knows how long it might drag on. But if it does, the city is asking for $17 million. I see they just filed this week for some additional charges against Burton Katzman. They're adding to their charges, and therefore they might even get more money. Maybe they're asking for more money, too. I'm not sure of that. But what would you do? I've asked all the candidates. What if they let's say, settle out of court for $12 million? What should the city do with that $12 million?
Well, they shouldn't rush and do anything with it right away. I mean, why, just because you got, some money in your pocket, you're going to go and burn it? Maybe they could take in the parking that is there now. I believe the city's paying around $1 million a year to pay off the note, and it's a $16 million note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, really, right now, paid parking, we can't just pull it out. Somebody's going to have to pay for it.
Got to pay for the towers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But even the lots, there has to be ongoing maintenance.
But even those between the two structures,
right.
I mean, why not get whatever goes in there? Say we're going to put a hotel chain. You got a hotel interested. Tell them we're going to lease them the land for $1 a year for 20 mm-hmm. years, and you guys build it and get it up and operate in an X amount of time. That mm-hmm. way it don't cost us anything. It costs us the land, but now we got a tax base coming in. We got more foot traffic up and down with the they call it Bar and Restaurant Row now. I mean, the name of the strip keeps changing. They keep adding more and more bars, and it's kind of ridiculous. But
Well, thanks for mentioning at the outset a good elected representative, should we say this, we want to look at all the possibilities. We don't just want to take the money and just put it one place or another, although it seems like...
I don't think you should. It seems like government does that a lot. They'll rush into spending, right. And it's like they think their pockets just go deep. There's no bottom to them. There is a bottom.
Because the city's rainy day fund is down, I don't know at what level. I think it's down $10 million, maybe less. They keep taking from it. They have taken, I don't know, several million each year for the last 5 or 6 years from it. I think it was at $40 million.
Yes, it was. It was $40.3 million, I think.
That was the high point. Maybe it was at 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago. But it's down pretty low now. And, of course, the city always needs some reserve. Who knows what's coming up in the economic climate. Hopefully it's going to get better. But any exciting ideas that you think that West Dearborn should definitely have or should work towards in terms of the business or the kinds of development there in general?
Well, let me talk about the fund real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Mentioned, you know, it was a little bit over $40 million in 2000. And it's forecasted, I was talking with the city financier, it's forecasted to be 2010 that be a... they're forecasting it to be like $20.1 million. So you're saying it's down $10 million.
I don't know.
Down $20 million.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, those are the numbers.
Okay. Yeah.
You're talking about new business in the area. What are my ideas? I mean, more and more bars and restaurants isn't the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all hurt. And I tell you, I read the paper the other day, and they're talking about bringing another bar, and all it's going to do is I'll guarantee it within a year. That place, the new place will be out of business, or somebody else that's struggling will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because you're filling a vacancy in a building, you can't keep filling them with the same, you know, same businesses, which on West Dearborn is.
Doug Thomas said that considering we only have, you know, bars and restaurants basically in West Dearborn, and of course we have some other small establishments, but the exception to that, he said the only thing we do is promote it to tourists. Because the people that are here, not enough people. I mean, just get a couple more hotels, get a link to the village or something. I don't know, some direct route, like the intermodal train station with a passageway across the tracks, under the tracks, over the tracks, into, you know. But it seems great. At one point in West Dearborn, I think we had 4 Italian restaurants.
Yes.
I don't know if we have that many Italian people. I mean, I'm sure we've got a lot of Italians in this area, but I'm just saying there wasn't a lot of variety. If they're going to do something, I just came back from Austin, Texas, and that's known as the live music capital of the U.S. But on 6th Street, where they have these 40 different bars and restaurant venues, which are known for live music, 4 of them in a row have turned into sports bars. 4 of them in a row. No music.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a live music capital, and this is 6th Street in Austin. Crazy. Now, the business people, I know it's a matter of, well, we'll just split up all the money of the others, and we can survive on, you know, just a share. And, of course, one was despicable. It was the Bikini Bar, Bikini Sports Bar and Grill. Because if anybody knows anything, bikinis are part of the sports scene. I mean... No, I'm kidding here. I just think it's crazy, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying the city should come in and say what goes there, although for years, you know, the city has been involved with buying property. I know Mayor Guido kept something like Media Play out of West Dearborn, big box stores. They didn't want that. So are you in favor of government setting some guidelines about the kinds of businesses? If they own the property, they can. If they don't own the property, they don't have a choice, I guess.
Well, I think they do have a choice. You have to have approval to bring a business into the city. And actually, you know, these new liquor licenses that want to move to the city, you know, the council does have a say-so.
Certainly.
I'm not sure on the facts on it, but Royal Oak, I think if you want to go open up a bar in Royal Oak, unless you're buying an existing place there, they're not going to let you.
Oh, okay.
You know, because you're just going to jeopardize what they have now because they know they've met their limit.
Right. And we know that both Royal Oak and Ann Arbor and, I don't know, maybe Grosse Pointe to a certain extent, they seem to have the right mix. They seem to have people there, visitors, shoppers, local community, busy, evening hours, of course, special events, but so does West Dearborn to an extent at times. So we need to have definitely more of a variety. I want to get the community back in there, too, and... that seems a little intrusive, but do you think government should add to that balance, I guess?
Well, I think they need to have a say and say what comes in and what don't. But you need to be, you know, sensible about it, too. I mean, some of the people in a council now say that, you know, with Allen Park, you know, the hill they call it or whatever, they say, you know, that's not in competition with Dearborn. And, you know, it is in competition. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, although it'd be all chain restaurants and stores up there, people go up there and shop.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, number one,
yeah.
They don't, it, yeah, it's not a lot to put money in the meter. For a lot of people, I think, and I hear it every day. I mean, I greet hundreds, if not thousands of people, you know, every week, thousands a month. And mm-hmm. I hear about parking every day. Every day of my life, I hear about it. You know, the people on the council, they don't hear what I hear.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, people are going to, I think Allen Park is in competition with us right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could walk up there and go in any chain restaurant and see customers that, I still see them in my place, but I don't see them as much. But I'll guarantee any restaurant I go in up there, I'll see people that come to the restaurant still or quit coming and go up there.
You probably are a supporter. I mentioned briefly the intermodal train station idea for a new location for our train station, sort of on the east corner of West Dearborn. I think that's the location they're going to get some of that land that's cars are parked on now for Ford Motor Company, I think, or maybe the Lincoln Mercury dealer is using some of that for their own storage. That would obviously bring more traffic, more people in and out with cars and maybe high-speed rail. So that would kind of be good for West Dearborn, right? So,
yeah, well, how about this? How about taking that train station and put it between the structures?
Yeah.
You got plenty of parking right now.
Yeah, that's a lot of unused parking. Move it a little further west.
I take the train to Ann Arbor every now and then. Get out.
Oh, yeah, so
it's
do
a
I.
short cab ride to, yep. to you know, the bars and restaurants. Or, well, that was at Weber's is right there. Mm-hmm. You can jump out, go eat at Weber's if you want, walking distance. You know, what about putting something like that there? I mean, I'm open for anything there, but they need to put something there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they don't have to use the lawsuit money to do it.
No.
I think if you lease the building out to somebody for, like I said, $1 a year or something cheap, tell them to build on it, I'm sure there'd be people jumping at it.
Well, we certainly hope all those plans and all of your ideas, too, can be incorporated because, as many people said, or some of the people, even the incumbents, Tom Tefalsky, considered not running again for the council. He said, we need some new ideas on the council. We need some, you know, new specific ideas from people that know. Of course, he decided he is running again. So I guess he's got some ideas himself.
Hmm? I said, I never heard that.
Yeah, this was about 4 or 5 months ago. He wasn't sure he was going to run. It was right before the deadline.
Right.
He hadn't decided.
I think there was
a question of, you know, since he got the second highest number of votes in any election to the mayor, would he run against the mayor? Yeah, for being the next mayor. And apparently he decided not to do that. Then he decided, well maybe I won't. At least he said to the public, maybe I won't run at all. I got a personal life, and it's only a part-time job, after all, being on the council, and not a full-time wage. Are there health benefits? He's not counting on them, I see.
I'm not doing this for the money or the benefits. I have my benefits with my job,
and, sure,
which I'm very fortunate to have. Costs a lot of money, or it's going up again.
Yeah.
It's glad I'm going to leave here. I got to go meet with my brothers because we're renewing our insurance, and it's skyrocketing up another so many percent. I mean, it is ridiculous.
Well, I have to ask you real briefly, because we've covered it on the show, and I talked to Mayor O'Reilly, and he knows about, and he's told us about how the cost of health insurance coverage for city employees is going up and up, and I understand that the health increase in cost is this year in Michigan something like 15%, which hits the small business the hardest because they can't negotiate because they don't have as many people in their individual contracts. So he's in favor of some kind of single-payer universal health care, even if it's just the state of Michigan, that he thinks that would help out local business. Obviously, everybody has to contribute to the kitty to pay for that.
Yes.
But do you think that's a way to control cost, whether it goes national or state?
You know, we had a lady look into that for us, and that's what she did was take different restaurants and bars that were interested in insurance and try to group them together just to get a cheaper policy.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up she wasn't able to get anything much cheaper, but it was an idea she tried for us.
Of course, statewide.
And, you know, if it would work, I'm sure.
All the bars in the state. No, I mean, all the people in the state. That's
good. Well, if the city could work something out like that, I mean, that would be a great idea if the businesses could join together and make a group. Yeah. and under a group policy.
Even
I don't
city,
know if the insurance companies would let us do that, but I mean, if it couldn't lower the cost, I think it'd be a great thing to do.
Well, as I said on the show, and it's my opinion, the opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College. That's our disclaimer. We have to say that. If it's not a nonprofit thing, government run, I don't see how we're ever going to get cost under control. I mean, even Blue Cross Blue Shield is a nonprofit. And they're not containing their costs. They say they're trying, but what's the problem? Well, they got competition, and you know, it seems like to us, to myself only, maybe that we've got to look at either a state plan or a federal plan, and we'll have to wait and see what's coming up there. We have about, I want to give you 30 minutes, about 8 or 9 minutes left in our conversation, and I believe we have Dr. Mee, president of the college, is coming by to follow up. There she is. Okay, so. One of our staff is going to meet her. East Dearborn, what would you do there? I mean, the health center is going up, but that's not necessarily going to bring a lot of people in terms of a business climate there, because they're sick coming there. Maybe they're not so sick when they leave, let's say, but they're not feeling
Hopefully
that not. Great, you know.
I know the feeling right now.
Yeah, do you have any suggestions for East Dearborn as a businessman from West Dearborn?
One thing with East Dearborn, I think there's a little bit more loyalty out of their, you know, the store owners and that with their clientele over there. I mean, Warren Avenue, you know, that Warren Avenue seems to be doing very well. And I think a lot of it has to do with the people around there are, you know, visiting their local stores.
Yeah, the stores are selling things, what, you know, basic essentials of life that people need. They can walk there or just drive there in a few moments. It seems to be one of those community business developments that you know, run by local people and well supported.
That's the way West Dearborn should go too. I mean, you know, they should be looking. We should be looking at bringing in a, you know, more unique shopping. I think maybe, you know, even East Dearborn, I mean, if somebody's going to bring in new business into the city, how about a tax break for them? I mean, just as long as they are in not direct competition with another business. You know, if it's something unique that isn't here, what about give them a tax break?
I think that
work
kind of,
with landlords to
have you
maybe a discount on their lease for the first year if they sign a 5-year lease? Or
obviously the city has a development officer. Is it Brian Murray?
I
can't remember his name exactly, but I think it's Murray or Murphy. Sorry there. You know, I haven't seen a plan from him. I mean, I know they want to work with the businesses that are there in the communities through these development authorities, and they. But I know the city is partner, and they have several people, including the mayor, on the Development Authority in East Dearborn. But I haven't heard of an overview plan
from
the city.
I'd really like to see what they're working on, too.
If
they're sitting on a full-time job and doing their work, let's see, you know, let's see the work you're working on and bringing in.
Here's a couple. Ongoing is the combined sewer overflow project, and of course there's something in West Dearborn that somebody thinks is causing vibrations that are going to break their foundation up of their home.
I live probably 200 feet from, I believe it's the one lady that's saying that. I hear it every morning. When I first started
tapping,
here,
it's a tapping.
Not as much as her. Yes, it is. It's a tapping. In my house, in the morning, I work nights usually, so I'm, you know, I get up a little bit later in the morning. But in my room when I'm sleeping, they were starting, I believe, at 8 in the morning, and then it changed to 8:30. What they're doing is I think they're knocking the bedrock out that's down there. And it sounds like somebody's constantly knocking on my front door.
The paper this week says they're using a new high technology for doing this digging that's never been used. Oh, my God. It must be some sort of sonic, ultrasonic waves to... I mean, they don't want to set off dynamite sticks underground there, right? But suppose that's going to be over. Do you know when that's supposed to be finished? I mean, did they tell the residents how long they're going to have to suffer like this?
I heard December sometime before Christmas. But I think that actually was an alternative to what they're using now was the dynamite.
Yeah, well, this person wants to have their foundation checked for cracks.
I saw the council. Well, she was at the council meeting.
That's right, yes.
And I'd be concerned, too. I mean, if I can hear that at my house and I'm... You know, quite a distance, maybe more from where she is. This is the one I'm talking about on south of Cherry Hill and just west of Military.
Right. Okay.
And which I think is the best project that's going so far. Those guys they're right on schedule. I wish this guy was handling all of them. You know, I mean, a lot of the other ones are going well too, but there's, I think it's two of them that they're really having a major problem with.
Unbelievable cost and intricacy of all of this over the years.
It's something, like you said, they're trying something new. It's taking that bedrock out. It's, you know, why do we got to be the guinea pigs with trying something new?
Well, they originally tried something new they were trying some sort of 20-foot high or 30-foot high underground tunnel to have just one, and that was down on Rotunda, west of Southfield, and they had gas, they had the wrong kind of soil, one workman died, although that could have just been an accident that was litigated for a while. Then they had to just stop that. I mean, they've been trying new stuff on this project for years, and they've had to back off several times, and we're stuck with this direction now. Oh, well. What about some new ideas? And then we'll let you have a two-minute summary of why people should vote for Patrick Kernan for Dearborn City Council. New ideas. I'm just wondering, what do you think about these? Are something small? Just Mayor O'Reilly said, if we can get some money, maybe from the government, whatever, wind turbines along the Rouge to develop electricity that generates directly for Dearborn residents to help them with their, or the city's electric bill, at least.
That's an interesting idea.
Wyandotte does that a little bit. Yes, they did.
Hey, if it's something that would work, I'm sure the students here probably have a program that works.
We do.
Like
we have an alternative energy program. And
how about get the students working with Dearborn and come up with some kind of project? Well, maybe we could get a government grant or something, working with the students, designing something like that.
Yeah, we're trying to get solar power for WHFR, too, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's out there. We should take advantage of it.
Bike pass. I ride my bike a lot. I live in East Dearborn, but I try to get to West Dearborn. Right now, there's not even a sidewalk because of the road construction. They've gotten rid of that.
We are a city of road construction.
Yeah. I mean, Austin, Texas, every time they put a road in, or even old roads, they're putting a separate line on the right, so you got a 3 or 4 foot margin. I mean, it makes it little skinny lanes, skinnier lanes for the cars, for bikes. And they have a lot of, course, they have better weather than we do, but a lot of people out on bikes for commuting.
That's a great idea, and it should be done. And I know some of our streets, they're already there, and the buildings that are already there, they can only go so wide. I'd be scared to death to ride down Michigan Avenue like that.
Yeah, and it's legal,
I'm scared
technically,
to death
but
crossing Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, well, I get pretty frightened even at the Southfield Expressway, because there's the entrance and exit ramps from Southfield there that you have to cross over. So you got to come to a complete stop, and even when you stop with your bike and decide to walk or run it across that one lane, people come, you know, down Michigan Avenue, 50, 60, and it's around a curve, so you can't even see them coming necessarily the last second.
As they say, you need to be on your game.
Yeah.
That or you'll be roadkill.
Last couple of weeks I've been talking, going to the farm market in West Dearborn, which I think is a wonderful thing. I hope it continues. Henry Ford Community College sponsored it this time, and they got a free booth there every time because of that. But why can't we have something for more activities? Like, what do you think of the idea of a permanent roof over that Bryant area, or maybe further west, a permanent roof, not closed in, for a farm market and other activities, maybe by those twin towers?
Yeah,
you think that's something
idea.
The city should?
I mean, there's even a lot of room down at Ford Field, which, you know, that's still walking distance.
Yeah, not exactly around the businesses, but
well, it's just down the street.
True.
Right? I mean, that's, I think, a big problem with the parking in Dearborn is, you know, like Ann Arbor and some of these other cities, you know, that people aren't afraid to walk. You know, a lot of people, you know, they want to be able to get out of their door and walk right in. I mean, you walk a little bit, you know, and it's not going to hurt you. Ford Field isn't that far down. There's plenty of room down there.
Although a little steep coming back up for some of the older folks, but we love homecoming. Well, Patrick Kernan, I want to thank you for being with us today on the Journal. You get 2 minutes now to tell people why Patrick Kernan, why now?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on here. I wasn't trying to dodge you guys or anything.
Oh.
This is my strategy to go last is what I was doing.
Big finish.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding there. But And the announcement of my name, I listened to the show last Friday. Who was the gentleman that sat in for you?
Right here,
that
Dennis.
Was you.
Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, you introduced me. He was introduced me as the infamous Pat Kernan.
Oh, I see.
But No, I'm kidding around. I apologize for not getting back with you sooner. Time's been really flying by with this whole thing I've been doing, and it was nothing intentional, and I apologize.
Oh, that's not an issue for us. We're glad you're here.
But this will be something new for me. I can't say I'm a fair man. I'm an honest man. A man of my word. I'll work hard. I'll do what I feel is right. I'm not saying I won't make mistakes. If I do, I think it takes a man to stand up and say, hey, I messed up. I was wrong there. What can I do to make it right? Nobody's perfect. This will be a new job for me if I do get elected, as it was for the seven that are there now. They were all elected for their first time. It will be a learning experience, as it was for them when they were first elected. And I think me and a couple of other incumbents get in there. There's a few of us that have more business experience than probably 10 or 11 of them all put together. I think if you got some new blood in there with a certain few of us, I think there could be a lot of good things happening.
Well, thank you. Finally, is there a way that people can find out more about you or your campaign or ask questions? Is there a phone number or a website that you can direct us to?
I do have a website. It's KiernanForCouncil.com. It's KIERNANFORCouncil.com. And I also have a email. It's KiernanForCouncil@comcast.net.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much for being with us, and we wish you, of course, the best luck in getting your position and your message out there. Everybody, make the best darn decisions you can, and definitely go vote on Tuesday. Thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Kernan. Now we're
You're
going
welcome.
To
Thank you.
Trying to include our nationally known commentator, Jim Hightower, talking about, well, it's kind of a business issue. The grocery stores may have some new labeling on the products, and he's got some doubts about the value. So take a listen to Jim Hightower. We'll be back with the president of Henry Ford Community College about an election issue, too, coming right up.
How can you tell when a consumer product might be one you should avoid? Easy. Whenever a corporate spokesperson declares that the product in question, quote, complies with all U.S. laws and regulations, run away as fast as you can. After all, for the past couple of decades, industry has essentially been the one writing the laws and regulations. Now, the food industry has written its own private regulation for a nutritional label. It's a snappy green and white logo to designate certain edibles as nutritionally desirable. A panel led by brand-name food manufacturers developed a loosey-goosey criteria for letting a product use the Smart Choices label. So goosey, in fact, that Kellogg's Fruit Loops qualifies as nutritionally sound, even though it is 41% sugar. Likewise, products with cancer-causing additives, saccharin, and caffeine get the Smart Choices approval. While the green checkmark certification was devised by private interests with no governmental sanction, it is now garnering the government oversight that food corporations had hoped to bypass. The Attorney General of Connecticut, who says the label seems overly simplistic, inaccurate, and ultimately misleading, is investigating whether it violates that state's consumer protection law. He's also probing whether the criteria for certification of products were shaped by an advertising strategy rather than scientific evidence, a question that seems to be answered by the Fruit Loops loophole. This is Jim Hightower saying, in addition, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, finally awakening from its long Bush-induced regulatory stupor, is now scrutinizing how smart the Smart Choices program really is. So, the irony is that the industry's deceptive PR ploy might end up producing a valid nutritional label that actually serves the interests of consumers.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
We're back with more of the new WHFR Journal. This is Jay Koronik with you. And we're joined in the studio by Henry Ford Community College President, Dr. Gail Mee. And Dr. Mee, thank you for coming in today and being part of our show. We'd like to talk to you a couple times a year because there's a lot of issues, a lot of things about the college that they don't get a chance to hear a human being talk about. You're fine. You'll hear yourself
talk. Thank you,
Jay. Yeah. She's trying to see if the microphone should be moved, but we'll take care of you. Don't worry. You may not know, because I think our general manager, Susan McGraw, has not sent out the email to the college, but Dennis, along with, not Amy, but Dennis, along with Lindsay Flynn, are hosting a monthly show that we've just started called HFCC Campus Connection.
Great. Wonderful.
And the first show...
Hear it first.
Yeah. Good point.
We'll get Dennis's mic up here. The first show was October 10th, was it?
It's the 13th, actually.
The 13th, yeah. And that's available as a podcast from our website. It's under Forum for October 13th. And we're going to try to tell the college to keep Dennis and us in mind. Dennis and Lindsay do a very listener-friendly show about things here at the college that actually matter to everybody in the community, not just students here. And the second episode is November 10th. It will debut on the air. It's a pre-recorded show, but they do it at the last minute to include a lot of things. Well, we asked you to come by today to inform us about one of the issues on the Dearborn ballot coming up this Tuesday, November 3rd. There's actually two issues talking about funding, and they're both renewals. One is for Wayne County, and that's a renewal, and this is one for Henry Ford Community College. And so we'd like, well, certainly you know all these issues and been talking to community groups and so on. It is, as it turns out, a renewal millage, and that's all it's being asked for, but it's a renewal of a supplemental millage. Could you explain that to our listeners first?
Yes, Jay, thank you so much for inviting me today. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about the millage. Yes, it is a supplemental millage. Back 5 years ago, the college was faced with a significant decrease in state funding. So in addition to the 2.5 millage, which is the base millage that the voters have approved for the college for 10 years. The college also had on the ballot a 0.5 millage for 5 years, in the hopes, of course, that the state funding would then be restored. Well, it never has. It is, in fact, back at 1999 levels. And so it's necessary for us to go back to the voters and ask them to please extend this 0.5 millage. It means about $2 million in operating funds for the college. And for the average Dearborn homeowner, it means about $33 a year. So we're hoping that our voters understand it is not an increase, but a continuation.
In fact, if their property values have gone down, then this actually means fewer real dollars per year just for voting for the same renewal amount.
That is correct, Jay. Actually, property values going down means that the college does get less money. So a 0.5 millage actually means less to us now than it did a couple of years ago. Nevertheless, in good conscience, because we know our community and we know that there are many in our community who are far less fortunate than we certainly could not ask for an increase.
And why is this important? Why is this, besides the fact that we're getting less money from these taxes, at this point in time, some people I've heard say in the community mistakenly, and I've been trying to talk to them too, is that, well, sure, we know the state can't give more money, but they should just do that. But in fact, different than a 4-year school, community colleges in Michigan get most of their money from tuition, first of all, don't we?
Yes, in fact, Henry Ford Community College is probably different than, I know it is, different than the other community colleges in Michigan because of our funding. All community colleges are funded basically by three sources. One is the state, the other is property tax, and then finally tuition. If all things were right as they should be when community colleges were founded, it was the hope that each of those sources would provide about a third of the funding. Clearly, over the years, that has changed. And we find ourselves at Henry Ford Community College right now depending very, very heavily on tuition. So our state funding represents about 27 or 28% of our total funding. Our property taxes, both commercial and residential, represent about 19% of our overall operational funding. That's because we have a very small property tax base. We only represent the school district of Dearborn. And then finally, our tuition now represents about 52% of our overall operational funding. That presents a huge challenge for the college. Community colleges have a mission to provide access to higher education for everyone who wishes to pursue it. And the tension that exists between providing that access and keeping our tuition low enough to be able to do that is one that we try and balance constantly. We probably rely more heavily on tuition than anyone else in Michigan. The other colleges, for example, we receive about $14 million from our property taxes. All other colleges receive much more. Schoolcraft, having less students, actually receives in property taxes twice what we do.
Mm. So we seem to be running very efficiently, thanks to your leadership, of course. Why is it such a good deal for the people of Dearborn? Obviously, there's a Wayne County Community College. I mean, we're in Wayne County, although we don't directly pay to them because we have our own. So it's not double dipping here for us. But why is it such a good deal? I know you have a number of bullet points, but let's give us a couple. Why it's really such a good deal and such a good thing to continue. Besides the access to all of our programs and education, and I don't think we have to spend time now touting what a great institution we are or how specialized or how many different kinds of classes and programs right now. But in terms of the millage, what directly does it do for the taxpayers that's quite unique?
I have to go back just to your point about, yes, we are in Wayne County, but we just recently celebrated our 70th anniversary. The college was founded in 1938, actually when the country was coming out of depression and people were suffering economically much as we are today. And yet the citizens of Dearborn thought it was terribly important that we provide post-secondary education and training. So they also felt very strongly that local control was terribly important of their community college. And I like to think that we all still think that that control is incredibly important. Also, I must say that Dearborn taxpayers, Dearborn School District residents receive a discount on tuition when they come to Henry Ford Community College. So per credit hour, it is $70 a credit hour to attend Henry Ford Community College for a Dearborn resident. Much, much less than any of the four-year schools and universities. In fact, they're well over $300 a credit hour to attend. So it's an enormous discount, an enormous real benefit, I think, to the Dearborn taxpayers for $70 a credit.
And we're busting at the seams here. We must be doing something right. I think we must have a lot of people coming from those four-year schools to finish up their first or the first and the second year of their programs here. Are we at 18,000 students currently, somewhere around there?
Yes, it's pretty wild, actually, because 3 years ago we were at roughly 13,000. We're now at 18,000. It represents more than a 30% increase in enrollment. So we are bursting at the seams. You're absolutely right, Jay. That comes from a number of things. First, we have any number of people who are coming back to school to be retrained, to get a different education, to be retrained, to get back into the workplace as quickly as possible with the knowledge and skills for the next generation of jobs. Then we have, as you say, a number of students who might have at another time gone directly to the university, but instead realize that they can come here, get a very high quality education for a fraction of the price for the first 2 years, and then transfer to that four-year school or university, saving a great deal of money. And then finally, we also have, I think, a population of students who in another day and age would have graduated from high school and gone directly to work, perhaps in the automobile industry. That's clearly not possible anymore. They realize that they need some kind of post-secondary education, and so they're here with us. We are a community college. It is our responsibility and also an opportunity, I think, for us to serve our community, and I hope we're doing it well.
Want to mention to our listeners, we have Dr. Mee with us, Dr. Gail Mee, president of Henry Ford Community College, which we are a part of, happy to be a part of. And I have to say that the college seems to have done its best job to try to get the complete word out here about this for the last several months, especially at the Dearborn Farm Market, where I give a special report every Friday, although it's rained like the last 4 weeks. But nonetheless, I've been out there. And in the Dearborn Press and Guide, and probably in the Times Herald too, there's a two-page spread that gives you not only the information, a lot of which Dr. Mee has just mentioned, but unbelievable endorsements of elected officials and real people, I mean students and others here. It's I don't know any issue or, and I've been around Dearborn 30 plus years, or candidate that has this kind of list of endorsements. I know other past millage campaigns for us, a lot of people were there, but didn't have all their pictures, let's say, in the paper at that point. It probably had as many people. So we'll just let you sum up, again, what they should primarily keep in mind when they see it on the ballot.
It is the, I believe, the last issue on the ballot. So I would ask people to be sure they make it to the end of the ballot. Again, it requires reading the proposal. It asks you if, in fact, the voter should continue, again, not increase, but continue a millage of 0.5 for the next 5 years for Henry Ford Community College. I appreciate, Jay, your mentioning the endorsements. We do have the endorsement of the mayor. Mayor O'Reilly, we have the endorsement of Congressman Dingell, of all members of the City Council, of Hassan Jaber, the Executive Director of Access, and I could go on and on. Naturally, all of the school board members as well. I'm particularly pleased that we have students who have spoken out about their incredible success having completed their education at Henry Ford Community College, and they too are endorsing the millage.
I don't want to give any negative here, but folks, this is very important, both the Wayne County millage proposal and Henry Ford Community College. What's happened at community college somewhere else in the U.S., and it escapes me now, but there's so many, when they lost part of their funding, even though they had the students who wanted to come, they had to cut back on teachers and programs. They had no choice. And then that's pretty much what the money goes to. I mean, it's salaries. You got to pay the people to teach, and our facilities are fantastic. They need certain upgrades and so on. Nobody is, and we've taken the high road here, Dr. Mee, in this campaign. Nobody has to challenge anybody. I think our reputation is enough to let them decide whether or not they want to continue this support. But the supplemental support, until maybe the federal government kicks in some money in future years, as President Obama has said, that community colleges, you know, why hasn't the federal government helped more in the past? We're an essential resource across the whole country to get people to work and back to work. So we hope everybody understands these issues. And if they want more information, I'm sure they can call your office directly, Dr. Mee. But no, they can go, to our website. I know it's hfcc.edu. Is it /millage?
I believe so, Jay. I believe that's exactly what it is. Certainly you can find it by just simply going to hfcc.edu, and there'll be a link. Absolutely. Okay. I would also want to say that I have to really give a sincere thanks to our faculty and staff who do such an incredible job, and in fact have educated those extra 5,000 students we were talking about in the last 3 years without additional staff and without additional faculty. And so I like to think we're mindful of the taxpayers and their support, appreciate all of the support we've received in the past, and are proud to be part of this fine community.
Well, we hope we've gotten the message out both here and elsewhere, and that people make the best choices for themselves and their community next Tuesday. Thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. Mee, and we do PSAs for the college all the time, so why not another one here? Check out our tuition rate statement, and we'll be back with some concluding stories on the new WHFR Journal.
Henry Ford Community College is a great way to get a valuable education at a lower cost. Visit hfcc.edu and compare for yourself. You'll see that the cost of 60 credit hours at Eastern Michigan University is $10,000 higher than the cost of 60 credit hours at Henry Ford Community College. It's $12,000 higher at Oakland University and $17,000 higher at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Remember, we offer a four-year tuition freeze guarantee, which assures you that today's tuition rates will be frozen for students who graduate from HFCC within 4 years. Henry Ford Community College is located near the corners of Ford and Evergreen Roads. Visit hfcc.edu for more details. The choice is clear. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice, guaranteed.
We're just saying goodbye to our president of Henry Ford Community College, Gail Mee, as she goes back to work. She's always working one way or the other here for Henry Ford Community College and the community. And we do want you to vote. We're not telling you how to vote on this show. Number one, we can't. But number two, we don't want to. But we are telling you alternative views, not necessarily mainstream status quo views, but things that we know best, and we know what's going on here. Dennis Reimar is still in the studio with us. We have only 5 minutes left in the new WHFR Journal show. A couple things. One, I have to follow up a show from a comment from last week about Doug Thomas. Okay, Doug Thomas, current incumbent on the Dearborn City Council. There was a question that came up, but was raised by Nancy Siwick, who didn't get into the top 14 of the primary. Does Doug Thomas reside in Dearborn? And the latest paper says he does. Okay, and so I don't know if the council will get a petition from Nancy to review it later. But the preliminary papers seem to say that he does. He admits he might have made a mistake in terms of status when he was doing his taxes for Florida, and he owns property there. Got some bad advice, he says. But just want to let you know that we didn't want to cast aspersions, that it looks like. Read the local papers, Times Herald here in Dearborn and the Press and Guide, and look for the story yourself. Now, beyond that, I want to make some comments based on some flyers that I received in the mail, political flyers, and very important because it's coming right up. First of all, Mayor John B. O'Reilly, well, he's running. He does have competition from Michael Preuss for mayor. There is a debate between the two of them that is on cable television, probably both WOW and Comcast, City of Dearborn Channel. He has a 10-point program. Some of the things are interesting. Comedy Film Festival. Everybody needs a good laugh.
Absolutely. Yeah,
these days and times. Whoops, what's happening? I can't hear Dennis. Go ahead, Dennis.
He didn't want me taking over this show also.
Not this week.
Okay. He also wants to, although this is Michael Preuss for mayor, two different ideas that would be based on building a stock car racing track at Camp Dearborn, but he says it's going to take 420 acres out of the 620 that are already there. What do you think about that? I hadn't heard that before. I'd love to hear more about all these things. He probably talks about them in that cable show debating the mayor. Well, in the mayor's flyer, though, Preuss has got his ad in the paper. I see it here in the...
It's the Times Herald.
Times Herald. Mm-hmm. So you can read about it there. But what's interesting about Mayor O'Reilly's flyer is that he does what Mayor Guido did only a couple times in his 20-plus years as mayor here in Dearborn, and that is endorse council candidates. Now, he's endorsing four incumbents, Hubbard, Shoshanian, Sereni, Abraham, and one challenger, David Bozzi, who was here 2 weeks ago on the Journal show. Only one challenger. Kind of interesting. Of course, he's not voting for the people that call themselves independents and have not sided with the administration most of the time. Not Council President Tom Tofelsky, not Doug Thomas, not George Duraney. I know they're good buddies. I see them together a lot talking at different events. But so George has gone and gotten Gary Warrenchuk, our beloved Wayne County Commissioner, to endorse him, and very clear mailing from Duraney that I got in East Dearborn that he is an independent. But number thing I want to say about here's his points here that's just unusual to me, not endorsing him or not, but Georgia's attendance records, according to Warrenshot, is the best on the console. He has been at 275 of 277 meetings. And by the way, you know, these console people, when they go to the meetings, they can't sleep. He said, well, they just go and then they fall asleep. No, we got cable TV.
Well, I thought you meant in general they can't sleep.
No, well, they can't sleep after the meeting because they're so geared up, so riled up. When they go to the meetings, they have to be there and staring at people at least, even if they don't say something. But DeRaney, if you watch any of these things, he does speak up a lot, as does, of course, Tefelsky. Tefelsky has a flyer that was delivered to each house, not through the mail. But of course he has been the most popular vote getter next to the mayor for the last several years, and he says again independence. Again, he has not sided with the administration on many issues, along with Thomas and I guess DeRaney. And it's kind of interesting that Mayor O'Reilly doesn't support those folks. I guess that's logical. Why would you support people that don't agree with you on a lot of things, don't see things your way? But if you do want change, as somebody said in the last presidential election, you might want new people that have new ideas. Now, some new people don't necessarily have new ideas or better ideas, but that's why you've got to do your research here, folks, and talk to people and read the papers and so on. It's interesting that... he doesn't mention George Hart. George Hart is a challenger for city council, has served in the city council before. Mayor O'Reilly was actually worked in Hart's office in the state of Michigan here in Lansing. And O'Reilly claimed that Hart was his mentor. In fact, Hart's mailing says that. And Mayor O'Reilly says, he was my mentor. And it's a case where I guess the student is succeeding where the mentor didn't, I guess, or going beyond or something, because Hart did not get Mayor O'Reilly's mention here. And we only mentioned five. In fact, you could have seven. He only mentions five key people that he wants to see back, and I won't mention their name again. Replay the podcast if you got to hear it. Okay. Also, what was interesting here, well, David Bozzi, again, 2 weeks ago on the Journal, that would have been 14 from 30 is 16th, October 16th. You can listen to the interview with him. He is the only challenger supported by Mayor John B. O'Reilly.